God speaks to us. And it's very interesting, the Lord always wants to speak to people, but whether the question is whether we want to listen. Right? God wants to speak, He wants to speak to young and old. If you look at the scriptures very carefully, the Lord is always want to speak to us, but whether, you know, we want to hear God's voice today. Each and every day the Lord wants to communicate to us. And so let's pray and ask God that He will speak to us and make known His will for our lives. Father, we thank You for this day that You've given to us, O God. We thank You that we worship a God who is alive, a God who rose from the dead, and a God who speaks to us. Lord, we live in a very busy world. We hear a lot of voices, O God, but we pray that we can still hear Your voice. We want to hear You, Lord. Even now we pray that You will help us to hear Your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And one of the reasons that we come to church, because we want to not only worship God, it's not only to come and to, you know, see our friends, to fellowship, which is important for us. It's not only a place that we want to encourage one another in the faith. But I think we come here because we want God to speak to us, right? We want God to speak to us about our lives, about the things that we are thinking of, particularly about our career, or the things that we are just seeking His answers or His will or His desire for our lives. And so, in other words, each and every day, we are expecting God to reveal Himself to us, to reveal His plan and His desire for us. I know the passage today, it's a very powerful passage. It's a passage about Samuel, young boy. You know, he was just 12 years old, according to the ancient Jewish scholar by the name of Josephus. He says, Samuel was just 12 years old. Can you imagine God speaking to a 12-year-old boy, whereas the Lord was not speaking to Eli? Eli was the priest. You know, he was a matured man. He knew the word of God well. Samuel did not really know God much. But God is speaking to this young lad who's just 12 years old. And so when I look at the passage, you know, it's a very interesting passage, because God is speaking to us immaterial of what your age. And today we tend to think, you know, God only speaks to leaders of the church, or God only speaks to adults or young adults. I think, let me tell you, God speaks to each and every person. Even a small child, the Lord wants to speak to us. I think, but whether we want to listen to the voice that actually comes from God. I think we know the passage, you know, Samuel is a young boy. He's the mother prays, Hannah makes a vow, and when God gave Samuel to her, what was happening? She gave him back to God, because that was the vow that she made. And God answered her prayer and she left him in the temple. And he was, you know, just doing the work that the priest wanted him to do. And so one night, what was happening? Samuel hears a voice calling him, Samuel! What do we do when we hear a voice like that? You know, according to scholarship, you know, when the light of the Lord was just going off, in other words, it's just before dawn. Right? Just before dawn. And what was happening, you know, Samuel immediately responded. The word says that he ran to Eli, and Eli said, I did not call you. So he goes back. I think, you know, three times it happens. He hears the word Samuel, and Samuel runs to Eli, and he says, here I am. You called me. Can you imagine a young boy, 12-year-old, he could have been fast asleep, you know, just all alone in the temple, just, you know, away from his family, away from his loving mother and dad, all alone. And God wants to speak to him. And he runs to Eli again the third time. And then Eli realizes it is the Lord who's actually speaking to him. And so he says, you know, the next time you hear, you know, tell God, you know, tell him, speak, for your servant is listening. I think that's a passage. So all of us know this, the story very well, you know, that, you know, God spoke to Samuel, and Samuel responded by saying, speak, for your servant is listening. You know, when I was looking at this passage, I realized, you know, God is speaking. At the same time, the Lord is not speaking also, right? God is speaking to Samuel,
But God's word or visions were rare in those days, and the Lord was not even speaking to Eli. Can you imagine? Eli was a priest, but God was not speaking to him. Eli was doing the work of a priest. Now, he was involved in the things of God every day in the temple. That was his work. That was his call. That was the thing that God has given to him. But God did not reveal himself to him. In other words, the Lord did not speak to him. But the Lord spoke to Samuel, a young boy who was still yet to know God. In other words, he was yet to experience God, yet to really understand who this God of Israel is. But God speak, or even spoke to Samuel. I think that's, you know, sometimes if you realize, you know, there are moments in our lives, you know, we feel that God is not speaking to us. I do not know how many of you have gone through, you know, moments in your life. You know, sometimes you feel that, you know, God is not speaking to me. Yes, there are times I think that you don't hear God's voice. You know, sometimes we go through a period, they call, you know, a period where, you know, the Lord wants to just leave you for a while. If you read, 2 Corinthians, Paul speaks about it. Paul says, three times I spoke to the Lord about my problem, and the Lord says, you know, what did the Lord say? Three times. In other words, Paul's prayed, and there was no answer. Paul prayed again. There was no answer. There was a thorn in his flesh. He prayed the third time, and God said, my grace is sufficient. And so what is happening? You know, sometimes, you know, the Lord is just giving us time to think, to just depend on him, to lean on him. So sometimes God can be silent. But if the Lord is not speaking to you for many months, let me tell you, my friends, I think there's something wrong. Right? If the Lord has not been speaking to you for a year, for many months, something is wrong somewhere. I think that was happening in the life of Eli, in the life of the Jewish people or the Hebrew people. You know, the Lord was not speaking. Visions were rare and God's word was rare. Why? There's a problem. If you look at the passage very carefully, you know, if you look at Judges, if you turn with me to Judges, the last chapter, Judges 21, 25, it says, in those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. And that was a life. They did whatever they wanted to do. They were just living a life according to their fleshly desires, and God was not speaking. Yes, there are moments we don't hear God because the Lord wants us to just depend on him. But if the Lord had not been speaking to you for a period of time, something is wrong. Something is wrong in the lives of the people that we just read. At the same time, if you realize, I know the Lord was speaking to Samuel. You know, I'd like to share with you just why am I unable to hear God? Sometimes we tend to ask ourselves, why am I, Pastor Vincent, you know, why am I unable to hear God? I know, I come to worship service. I sing songs of praise. I even lift up my hands. You know, why am I unable to hear God? What is happening to my life? You know, sometimes it's important for us to ask ourselves, what was the last time that God ever spoke to you through you, to you through his word? When was the last time you feel convicted by the Spirit of God, that you felt that you need to respond to what God had been talking to you? When was the last time? Can you remember the last time that you felt that God spoke to you? Or when was the last time that you heard his voice? Why am I unable to hear God's voice? If you look at the passage very carefully, very interestingly, if you look at verse 2, it speaks about the spiritual condition of Eli, right? What was happening in verse 2? It says, one night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. You know, very interesting, when you look at the Old Testament, whenever it's written, you know, it is not just written like that. It has a lot of significance, symbolism, right? It says, one night Eli, the priest, whose eyes was becoming so weak that he could barely see. You know, his eyes was becoming weak. You know, in the Hebrew scriptures, the physical part shows the spiritual condition. If the eyes was weak, his spiritual eyesight was weak, right? I think that's the way, if you look at it in the Old Testament, it's always. So in other words, there was spiritual blindness. What was happening? You know, Eli, being a priest, was unable to see what was God trying to do. Why? Because there was a spiritual descent in his life. Probably he started excited to do things for God. He was excited for God. There was fire in his life. There was passion in his life. You know, but as things were going on, what was happening? There was a spiritual decline. There was a spiritual blindness that was happening to him, that his eyes was barely, he was unable to see. He was becoming weak, my friend. He was just losing the touch of God. Right? Why I'm unable to hear God when we start going down on the downslope? Spiritual blindness. It starts slowly. Secondly, if you look at the passage, it says there was spiritual disinterest in him. You know, when I was looking at this passage, you know, like Judges, if you read Judges 21, 25, the people did what was right in their own eyes, right? And not only the people, if you realize, Eli's sons were wicked in the sight of God. Priest's sons, they were also wicked. They were doing things whatever they desired. And not only that, when you look at, you know, when God called Samuel, you know, on the third round, Eli knew it was God who was calling. Can you imagine? You know, I was just trying to imagine Eli. He knew that it was God who was speaking to Samuel at the third round. And what Eli said, go back, lie down, you know, if he calls you, respond to him. Can you imagine? But he did not show any interest at all. He went back to his own place. He went back to his own place, right? And it says there was spiritual disinterest in his life. And then and there was spiritual deafness. He was unable. You know, when I look at this word very carefully, it says he was lying down in his usual place. Very interesting. I was looking at the passage very carefully. It means that he was doing God's work. He was lying down in his own place. He went back to his own place. Whereas, if you look at the passage very carefully, Samuel was sleeping near the ark. Right? That's the way Hebrew scholars or Hebrew writers write. You know, it means that he went to do God's work. He was involved in God's work, but he was disconnected. It was a Sunday event. It was a Sabbath event. It was just because I'm called to do this, but it doesn't affect my life. He went back to his own place. Place he was just lying down. His own lifestyle. Monday to Saturday. Sunday he came back excited. He was just doing every ritual possible just to please the people. He was involved in spiritual things. Can you imagine? You can be with spiritual friends, but far away from God. We can be in this church today just singing praises to God, but miles away from the Lord. And that was Eli. He was lying down in his usual place, not in the place of God. You know, we need to be very careful. Even as a pastor, you know, many a times one of the temptations is pastoral life can become very routine, right? In other words, I can even, you know, I'm not saying, you know, just, you know, I can even open the scriptures and preach without sitting down and just working on the text. It is possible, right? It is possible for us not to pray or even to get involved. We can just use the talents or the gifts that we have, that's it, without depending on God. And so, my friends, I think we need to be careful, including myself, right? We can be involved with God, but then it is not impacting our lives. And that was Eli. He went back to his usual place. You know, there was spiritual deafness in his life. In other words, you know, he was slow to recognize the voice of God. Just slow to recognize the voice of God. And that was Eli. I think what is happening, you know, our failure to hear his voice is due to the fact that we do not generally want to hear him. You know, we don't want to hear him, right? Because if the word of God tells us if we love him, we'll continue to hear him. We'll continue to fulfill the things actually that God has actually planned for our lives. And so, why I'm unable to hear God when there is a spiritual decline? How's our spiritual walk with God? Is it going up? Is it improving? Or is it just going down? Are we distancing ourselves away from God? How's our spiritual interest, right? Do we have interest, you know, in the things of God, or does it make us excited about Christ? Is there a spiritual deafness? Are we unable to recognize, you know, we tend to recognize, you know, the voice of the world more strongly than the voice of God, right? I think we need to be very careful. I think that's why, you know, Eli was unable to hear the voice of God. But then the next one, how can I hear from God? I think the passage also talks to us about how you and I can hear from God. And, you know, I'll just want to leave a couple of things with you today. You know, how can I hear God from this particular passage? You know, first of all, you know, when I read this particular passage, what was happening? You know, you position yourself close to God. When I was looking at this passage, I realized that Samuel was not only ministering, but he was lying down in the house of the Lord in verse 3, where the ark of God was. I'm not spiritualizing it, but if you look at it, the Lamb of God was not yet gone out, but Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, whereas Eli was in his own place. Right? I think it's important for us to position ourselves, you know, close to God. It's important for us to find time to worship God. It's important for us to find time to have a devotional life. It's important for us to make every effort to be in the company of Christian friends, my friends. It's important for us to come together as a church just to worship and experience Him and to pray for one another. Position yourself, because if you distance yourself away, you know, many a times you will not be able to hear God. And so, even in your devotional life, right, find time or even make time to have a time with God. Put your phones away, right? Find opportunity to mingle, to associate with friends, you know, who love the Lord, who know the Lord. I think it's important for us, you know, to create that kind of appetite. Do we have that kind of appetite? When we create an appetite, let me tell you, you know, you'll get the hunger, right? And God will fill you. Position yourself. Don't distance yourself away from God. And secondly, if you look at the passage, you know, I realize in verse 1, what was happening? Samuel was ministering. You know, when I was looking at this word, you know, can you imagine? God was not speaking, right? Visions were rare. The word of God was rare in this, and there were not many visions. Things was not exciting at all, right? But what was happening? Samuel was still involved in ministry, right? Things was not so exciting. We want to be in a place where things are just exciting. You know, I want to be part of that particular kind of ministry. But Samuel was just doing what he was called to do. And he was faithful, even though, you know, what was happening, the spiritual climate was not there. Things were dull, things were dark, things were not, you know, in order. But Samuel did what God has given to him. You know, sometimes in our Christian life also, I think, you know, when things are moving on well in the church, we want to be plucked into the ministry of the church. But I think that's not the way, my friend. I think if God has called you to a particular ministry, do it. Be on a regular service to God, right? Immaterial of what people say, you know, whether the climate is good or not good, when we are doing what God has expected us to do faithfully. And young boy Samuel, who's just 12 years old, he ministered before the Lord under Eli, right? And he knew very well, probably Samuel knew, Eli, you know, what's happening to this man? But even then, he ministered to God under Eli. Right? because he knew that probably, you know, I'm doing it this for God and for God alone, not that for this man Eli. So whatever we do today, we always realize we are not doing it for this particular church, we are doing it for God. And when we are in regular service to God, let me tell you, you know, you will tend to hear God's voice. Position yourself close to God, right? Find or be in a regular service to God. And thirdly, listen to God clearly, right? And so listen to God clearly. You know, the word clearly or listen here means, you know, to listen with interest, right? That's the Hebrew word. It's not just listening. I'm just listening with interest. I just want to hear, you know, what God is trying to tell me. When I look at this passage, I just don't want to read that passage, but I want to hear what God is trying to tell me from this particular passage. So there is a difference between just reading and trying to hear what God has to say. To hear with interest, to hear so you want to obey, right? You want to put it into action. I think that's the way, you know, the word means in this particular passage. You know, we need to be listening to God. We need to respond to God eagerly. How did Samuel respond? He ran. Can you imagine? You're fast asleep, right? Probably, you know, we will ignore, but Samuel ran. You know, in those days, I don't think so, there were bright lights, but even then Samuel ran. You know, he wanted to listen. He responded immediately, right? Eagerly. Now look at people, you know, Abraham also did, you know, he said, you know, here I am. Jacob also said, here I am. Ananias also said, here I am. Can you imagine? They listened to God, and when they heard him, they knew it was God's voice. Right? So, you know, sometimes, you know, I think, when do you listen? When you come closer to God. Right? For example, David and Susanna are talking, right? I know they are talking, but I'm sorry, they're not talking now. David, who's talking? If they are talking, so what happens? If I want to know, hear their conversation, what do I do? I go, come closer, right? I come closer. Imagine they are talking. Oh, they want to treat me to a restaurant after service. So what's happening? I think, you know, sometimes you hear, you know, God is trying to say something. But I think we need to make the effort of going closer to him. When you try to go closer, then you hear him much more clearer. Right? You know, God is trying to tell me something. You know, I know God is trying to tell me something. You want to hear him clear? Closer. A closer walk with him. Just go nearer, and then you'll know that, you know, the Lord is making himself much more clearer to us. Right? So listen to him clearly. Don't, you know, just vaguely. Sometimes, you know, be careful, because you might be hearing men's voice, right? Make sure you are hearing God's voice. You know, sometimes what happens, men's voice can become God's voice. But if it's sometimes the Lord uses other people to speak to us, you know, I'm not saying no. But you need to make sure that, you know, this is the voice of the Lord. If not, you'll be hearing another person's voice and then living a different life altogether. And lastly, you know, obey him fully, right? What was happening? You know, not only Samuel, you know, as a young boy, the Lord gave him a great command, a great work to do, a great task. I can't imagine God giving Samuel a great task. It was a call. It was more of a judgment towards the Israelites or the Jewish people, you know. And that was a call God gave to this young boy, 12 years old, not to tell him, you know, go and bless the people. No, it was a challenge. It was a challenge even to Jeremiah when Jeremiah was called, right? Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. For 40 years, can you imagine? Jeremiah was just prophesying and not even one soul was converted. Can you imagine? No, he was doing God's work. God says, go and prophesy. And he was doing God's work for 40 years, not even one soul. It can be very discouraging. But obey him fully. It is a difficult task, but Samuel obeyed him fully. And so Thomas A. Kempis, it's an interesting book. It's a very devotional book, right? Imitation of Christ. He says, instant obedience is the only kind of obedience, right? Delayed obedience is disobedience. Immediately respond and obey him, not half-heartedly, but fully, whatever God tells you, fully. You know, very interestingly, Samuel was one of the greatest prophets in those days, my friend. He obeyed God fully. Let me close by saying, you know, the Lord wants to speak to us, but whether we want to listen, right? You might be young, right? We might be adults, young adults, whoever we are. You know, the Lord wants to speak to us. If you're not hearing God's voice, right, for a long period of time, no. Do some kind of spiritual checkup to see what's happening. But let me tell you, you know, the Lord wants to speak to us. He just loves us. I just want to finish with this story, but I do not know whether is it relevant or not. But, you know, it's about King Henry. I hope I it is relevant. It's about King Henry coming to this particular town many years ago. He wanted to visit this particular town. And so when the royal king, you know, wanted to come, you know, the entire town was so excited because the king is coming. So what do? When the king is coming, right? You prepare the place, the journey, the place that he will be traveling. You prepare the ground, you know, you raise up some, you know, you paint the buildings, you make it nice, and you get kids to stand and along the road, you know, just to wave flags and just welcome the king. And so what was happening in this small town, the king was coming to this particular small town. And so the school kids were so excited because they are going to stand in a row, right, to welcome the king. There will be a lot of kids. And so the school was so excited because they were going to see King Henry. And kids were excited, teachers were also excited. So the day came, all of them were standing in two rows, and King Henry came, right? King Henry came, and I know, as usual, he was just walking and smiling, and kids were just, you know, waving their flags and just cheering and shouting, long live the king and all that. And a lot of excitement and joy. But once the king passed by, and after the thing was all over, a small child was crying. And so the teacher went to the child and said, why are you crying, you know? You should be excited. Can you look at the other kids? You know, they were so excited. You know, they were just jumping. You know, they have his history, right? They have seen the royal king. But why are you crying? Why are you just weeping? And she was just weeping and weeping. And the teacher tried talking to her. You know what she said? She said, I saw the king, but the king did not see me. I saw the king, but he did not see me. When I was reading the story, I was just reminded, you know, that, you know, God is not like that. You know, he sees us. He sees each and every one of us. He sees all of us. He doesn't just pass by. Right? He's not King Henry. He's the king of the world, right? He wants to speak to each and every one of us. Every one of us, he got a special message for us, my friend. You might be Samuel, 12-year-old, right? You might be Joshua, who said, as for me and my house, at the age of 80, he said, you know, almost right, 80, he said, we will serve the Lord, right? And the Lord even spoke to Abraham at an old age too. God sees us. He wants to speak to us. Do you want to listen? Let's pray. I want you to take a moment to just ask yourself, when was the last time you heard God speaking to you through His Word? When was the last time you heard God speaking to you as you were worshiping Him? When was the last time you heard God speak to you?
When I look at this passage, I realize that God wants to speak to us every day. Because God has a message for us every day. Can you imagine Eli, a priest in his temple, and the Lord was not speaking to him? He was serving the Lord, but then he was miles away from God. I believe God wants to speak to us. I believe that God has a call for each and every one of us. The Word of God says, "My sheep will hear my voice." If you are His sheep, you will hear His voice. Father, we thank you, Lord, because we worship a God who's alive, who speaks to us even today. We might be like Samuel, younger God, but you still want to reach out to us. Lord, we live in a world where we are tempted to hear the voices of this world, O God. But help us, O Lord, to hear your voice. Help us, O Lord, not to run to Eli, but help us to run to you and to say, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." And help us, O Lord, to come closer to you. We thank you because we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for the church. In Jesus' name we pray.